important chapter of our church. After nearly 1,000 sermons, 4,000 daily devotions, countless mission trips, raising and sending and supporting some 20 missionaries and their families, baptizing and blessing nearly 100 people, marrying some 50 couples, and spending hours visiting and praying and sometimes crying with you, I'm addressing you for the last time as your senior pastor. Next Sunday, I will hand over the baton to Pastor Rina as your new and next senior pastor, and I will gladly take my long service leave. You won't see me till end of June, where you guys are supposed to throw me a surprise party. When I speak the word surprise, I expect to be surprised in a good way. And there will be a formal service at the end that we can come together to praise God and thank Him for His faithfulness to all of us. Many of you ask Joanne and myself, why are we stepping down? There are many good reasons, but I won't bore you with the details. But for Joanne and I think the most important reason is that we want to see change. We want to see change happening, and we want to see our church grow and reach new heights. Joanne has been my best friend, partner in ministry, and the junior Holy Spirit. And we have been praying for a while, and 18 months ago, I think the Lord speaks to us very clearly, the time has come for us to step down. And we are glad that we are stepping down, because I think our church is in a good place, in a good location. We are a people that really love the Lord. I can see in the way we worship, the way we serve. I'm glad that, you know, unlike some of the things that sometimes we get to hear in the news, where pastors are forced to step down because of scandals, because of crimes, because of so many things, that whoever inherits a poison chalice. And that's very hard to recover. But I'm glad for Pastor Rina that she's not inheriting a poison chalice, but a generations of sons and daughters who really love the Lord. Position ourselves for something much more, because we are at this turning point. As a church, I can say that our timing to step down cannot be more perfect. We are in a good location to thrive. We have a good group of committed leaders and emerging leaders to lead and serve. And we have the stability, strength, and stamina to forge a future of new growth and opportunity. Believe me when I say, after 20 years of working among you and serving with you, we did not make this decision lightly. But we know that God is with us. I know that many of you are saddened by the news. But I know of two persons who is overjoyed. One is Amanda. The other is Ned. Why? Because they are longer pastor's kids. I think with Joanne, both Amanda and Ned has been selfless and generous. They have shared their fathers on many nights when we are out for meeting, when I'm up to minister. And all these 20 years, they never complain a bit that why you never around. For that, I could serve with clarity, I could serve with that sense of great joy, knowing while I am with some of you, my mind is not thinking what's happening back home. There is no tinge of guilt that I'm with you, I wish I'm back home, that kind of thing. Amanda and Ned have served alongside with Joanne and I, and they have shared many of our ministry pain, suffering, and sorrow. And you may not realize it, that they are often held to a higher standard because they are pastor's kids. It is like expecting dentist kids born with perfect teeth. Or driving instructors, children are born prepared to drive. In one sense, both Amanda and Ned never had a normal childhood or were allowed to grow in their own pace. And every mistake or misstep they made are amplified many times over, and sometimes it reflects our less than perfect parenting skills. But thank God for His grace and great love. As Amanda and Ned each had their own personal relationship with Jesus and walk with Him in their own unique ways. Joanne and I are often amazed by their many stories and testimonies of God's working in their lives. To see that they still love Jesus is certainly a postcard from heaven. And I want to honor Amanda and Ned for their patience, resilience, and courage. And may God bless them for honoring Him and both their parents. Can we give them a clap? What is before us are seasons of great change and transition. Many of you ask me what we are going to do next. And many people in our kingdom friendship also ask me the same question when I say to them, I don't know. It always elicits two kinds of response. One of them will say, wow, I'm so glad to see that God is leading you, that you have that perfect trust in Him. And our group of people say, you better start making phone calls. You better start asking for a job somewhere. But we know that God is with us. And today's, in one sense, as my last message to you guys and girls, in my last sermon to you as your senior pastor, my title is God Make All Things Beautiful in His Time. It is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. And I want all us to read it together. But I just don't want us to read it, but can we act it out? This is one of the few verses in the Bible you can act it out. Okay? Some of you are not acting kind. Oh, yes, you are. Sometimes you pretend. Now, the thing is this. I want us to stand up, hem it out a bit, but just act it out. Okay, no one is watching you except Jesus, so don't worry. Come, let's all stand. Johi, can we have the slide, please? All right, let's read it out loud, but with action. Turn to your neighbor and say, action. Okay. Right, ready? To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck out what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, and a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to moan, and a time to dance, a time to cast stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Okay, let go now. Some of you are embracing, right? Verse 6. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, and a time of war, and a time of peace. Let's read this together, the last two verses, three verses. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Let us all clap and give each other applause. All right. Oh, you have won the Oscar. Please sit down. Ecclesiastes comes from the Hebrew word, actually means Koheleth, which means the preacher. And this is an image of Solomon preaching to people coming to listen to wisdom. If you ever read the whole entire book of Ecclesiastes, I'll tell you it's the most depressing book there is in the Old Testament. It talks about life, talks about seasons, talks about change and transition. And sometimes we plan for it, sometimes it's so unplanned. But Solomon, in his wisdom, encourages us that in every change, in every sense of transition, that we must bear in mind that God has put eternity in our hearts. That means for every person, not just us who know Jesus Christ, every person born in this world always sense there's something much more than who they are. And many of us know our life is not just a life when we pursue achievements, but our life is one that we know is so much more than whatever we have achieved. We say to ourselves, there's more. And that more is not about being busy, but that more is sensing that my life has a purpose. Here Solomon tells us in verse 9, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? What he's saying is, are you enjoying what you are doing? How many of us enjoy our works? Oh, Elaine, wow. Okay, Ben, a few of us. I think Jason enjoys his work. When he gets frustrated, he just pulls out a few more teeth. That's all, you know. That's not true. I'm singing it this Friday. Okay, anyway. But many people, many of us, we don't actually hate our work, but sometimes we get frustrated by what we are doing. Until we are invited to the revelation of the Avodah life, in which God says when we work, when we worship, it's the same thing. We worship Him as we work. And as we work, we worship Him. Work without God is meaningless. Because if you look at Scripture and what Solomon is telling us, work is never about achievements. Work goes beyond having so-called your material rewards. But work is sensing and be filled with satisfaction. And God modeled it for us in Genesis chapter 1, where He created each day. He says, when He looked at what He has created, He said, it is good. That means God was satisfied with what He has done. And then the Bible tells us He rested after the sixth day of creation. When God say He rested, that sense is that God is satisfied with what He has created. Because if God has kept on creating, means He is not satisfied. But the very fact that God says, I've done all these things, I am satisfied. And this is an invitation for you and I. It's not about pursuing as much as it's about receiving the fruits of satisfaction. Last week we were at a wedding and there was a leader who was telling me, he was in our church, and from a mega church, in fact, he say, you know, I'm going to say this without being shy, he say, Richard, you are a very high caliber pastor. I say, yes, I am. But how come your church is so small? So I say, it's because you are focusing on numbers, but I'm raising giants. And look at me and say, you are right. Because I ask people about First Light Church, almost every pastor in the city ever heard about this church in a good way. We are a good tree. And we can say that indeed over this course of us as a community, not just me alone, but every one of us has been involved in raising people, men and women whose heart was purposed in serving God, and we helped them to get into serving God. And now we have Pastor Matt and Adeline serving in Thailand, and I think in due time, now they're going to plant a church there. And we can say after our journey as a church, we're going to see a daughter church being planted somewhere in Chiang Mai. Amen. You know, a few years ago, I brought Sang and Dan with me to Vietnam. Sang is a local celebrity there. Every few months, I get a text. He says, "Where is Sang coming back to preach?" Right? And Sang, I think he called it, and twice he went with Anna and Kieran and Mia and brought others with them until COVID stopped them. They're still opening the door for you guys to go to Vietnam. Right? They still talk about, and even for Dan and Iris serving God in China in a very marvelous way. We have Pastor Jeremy and Mel who step up, not in the most convenient way, but they step up trusting God in that season. And in one sense, we can rejoice. Even for John Ong, recently he has been appointed to be treasurer of Kwa Kwa. He's sitting on a fortune. Remember us, where our kingdom come, John. You know? And even for Pastor Rina, we are not ones that define ourselves by numbers, but we are one that define ourselves by having eternity in our hearts. Because from day one when we started as a church, it was never about so much more about growing just in numbers. Of course, we want numbers, but much more is to know the gospel and to pursue what God has set before us. We have been through lean times, even as a church, but thank God that God is kind, God is merciful. And even today, I look at our worship team. I can remember when Crystal first stepped in. I told this story many times, but one more time, maybe the last time, there were Sundays we couldn't even get one person to lead. But thank God for that sister, even for Jason, who is so supportive that today our team has grown. And we know they have grown because we can hear them. They are here, and to see the Chong siblings serving together with their dad, it is a great joy, isn't it? Even for Anna, when she took over from Serene as our children's coordinator, wow. Today, I think Anna can say that God indeed has been with her, with the team. And even for Ditsa, serving as our youngest mission chairperson, and she has labored hard to see many fruits. The lesson we learn together, the things that we have purposed together, is indeed God is with us. In every situation of life, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Here, it's not about life is being predetermined or life has a set order or life is preordained. Because even if you have been observing for the past few months about the AI is on the rise, right? Some of you have been using AI to write letters for you. I'm going to use it soon to write my resignation letter. Now, the thing is this. It tells us the world is changing. We are moving from a Newtonian worldview to a quantum worldview. I sound very intelligent here. What do we mean by that? If you understand Newton, it's about the universe was ruled by laws. Laws that cannot be changed. But now we begin to be exposed to quantum science, quantum technology, that everything is chaotic. But out of chaos comes beautiful creation. The more I study about quantum worldview, the more I begin to realize this, how God works with us, that God is not determining our life as if this is when you're going to be born and when you die. Some people have this mindset, if I'm meant to die, I'll die. No. In the old days, they used to say there are such things called an old pilot and bow pilots. But you never find an old bow pilot. Because the old one are the smart one. They live a long time. The bold one take risks. They may not live that long. But in the midst between birth and death, eternity has been written in our hearts that we can respond to what God is calling us to do. In the quantum world view, God is inviting us that your life is not determined by changing circumstances. Your life is determined by my word, and my word will carry you through every season. That's why Jesus, every time he appears to his disciple, the first two words he says, fear not. Fear not, because I am with you. I believe God is sovereign, but when I say God is sovereign, means he is in charge. I do not think God is a micromanager, but he is in charge. He determines our coming and going, and in his own reason, he takes charge of all events that happens in our life. Paul tells us that we must give thanks to God in all circumstances, but he didn't say give thanks to God for all circumstances, because not everything that happened to us is good. But he says if you begin to thank God with a heart of gratitude in all circumstances, you see the goodness of God. And this is patterned for us in the Old Testament. If you haven't read in the Old Testament, here are these people, right, in the wilderness. They drank the water and they complained to who? Moses. Moses! The water is bitter. What did Moses do? He takes some salt, sprinkle, now you drink. Oh, now it's very sweet. Right? Like Mountain Dew. This bunch of school of prophets were building their own retreat center. They used an axe to hack some wood. And the axe flew away and the axe head flew and went to the waters, and then they begin to cry to the prophet Elisha and say, oh, this axe is borrowed. It's all in the water. What are we supposed to do? And this guy just threw a stick, the thing just flowed out. Another time, all this prophet can't cook. They go and put something wrong in the pot, and they cook it and they smell it, and they told the prophet, there's death in the pot. Never say that to your wife. But I said, there's death in the pot. And then the prophet took some flour, mix it, and now you can serve it. The flour, the salt, the wood is always a picture of the cross. Flour comes from crushed wheat. Oil come from crushed olive. Jesus was crushed for us so that we can have life. If we begin to understand, not everything that happens between our birth and our death is good, but when we begin to see everything through the cross, then we can say, indeed God is with us. He is good. If we begin to see the worst tragedy of our life, the biggest pain, situation we till today we can't reconcile, if we see it through the cross, we can echo with Solomon who say, God has made all things beautiful in his time. And Paul will echo this in Romans 8, for we know all things work together for good to those who are called to his purpose. turn to your neighbor and say, are you called to God's purpose? Come on, ask with some conviction. Are you called to God's purpose? Then, don't worry, all things will work together for good. Last week, I had fellowship with a missionary, and he's based in Thailand, and he was telling me, he was a modern-day Jonah. He knew God called him into mission, but he didn't want to go into mission. He literally ran away on the ship. A storm really came. And his life was messed up, but then he came back to the Lord. And he said, Lord, you have your way, I will go. And he was in Thailand serving the Lord. And one day, in the midst of his preaching, he got a phone call. And here, he was listening, a call from Singapore. He said, oh, the sister was crying over the phone, said, Dad is dying. They just diagnosed him with liver cancer, and the tumor and the cancer has just burst. The doctor says, there's not much chance, you better come back. And so he rushed back from Thailand to Singapore, and there he was in hospital. He saw his father putting on a life support. And the doctor said that life support will give him perhaps 2 days. It's very messy. The tumor has burst. There's nothing we can do. And he told me, you know, at that time, I said, do you pray? He said, no, I did not pray. He said, I scolded God. I said, wow. He said, Lord, it's not fair. You send me all the way to Thailand to preach the good news that people will be safe. He said, my dad is not yet safe. In fact, the dad kicked him out of the house once he became a Christian. He said, but my dad is not safe, and my family is not safe. How then can I reconcile your goodness, seeing my dad is going to go into a Christless eternity, when you are asking me to preach eternity up in the mountains of Thailand? Amazingly, the father lived for the next 5 days. And then he woke up. And the first thing he saw his son, he said, I want to be baptized. And the son said, why? What happened? He said, I saw Jesus. Jesus is real. I want to be baptized. And so he quickly called the pastor to come and baptize the father. And of course, I was excited. What happened to the tumor? What happened to the tumor? He said, the amazing part was, he said, okay, Colin, you had to explain this. He said, the tumor didn't go into his liver, but ended up eating itself up. And the dad lived for 5 more years. And died on an unrelated cause. Isn't that God is good? That many times in our life, when we begin to trust God through the finished work of the cross, what is bitter becomes sweet. What has sunk can float up. What is lost can still be found. We are invited by the word. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has put eternity in their hearts. What is eternal? I'll tell you. Love is eternal. And scripture tells us God is love. Every one of us sitting here today will agree with me saying we all want to be loved. And we all want to be accepted. Is that not true? And sometimes, even in our most perfect, so-called perfect human relationship, we don't get full love or full acceptance. But God is perfect love. And this is where it comes. What profit do I have in what I'm doing? The profit is to know the love of God, to know his power, to know his graciousness, that it is his love that sustains us. Someone asked Jesus one day in John, what is the work of God? And Jesus said, the work, which we also can translate as the purpose of God, is this: to believe in the one he sent. So every day as you go to work, you have your roles, you have your responsibilities, but the true work that you are actually doing as you work out your roles and responsibilities is to be a worshiper. You're always a worshiper before you are a worker. And once you capture this understanding, you are never fearful of feeling that work is going to overwhelm me, or you're going to feel frustrated, or you feel like you're an imposter. But you know, as you enter into this space, that God is calling you and I, because he's saying to you and I, I've written eternity in your hearts. For Joanne and I, what lays or lies before us, I believe, are great days. We consider it a privilege to know all of you, to serve with you, to love you and to be loved by you. But we need to rest in one thing. He has written eternity in each of our hearts. It is your choice. It is you who must call out to him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is up to you that the yearning need not have to remain a yearning, but it is a receiving of that love to say, yes, Lord, I believe in you. Yes, Lord, I know you love me. Yes, Lord, life is so messed up, but help me see it through the accomplished work of the cross. That God makes all things beautiful in his time. If you truly grasp this, that means in a kingdom, there is no failure. In a kingdom, there is no fear. And once there is no failure or fear, then there is no more performance. Because you know you are the beloved of God. And then you truly experience freedom because you have come to know who you are. In summary, if you never remember any of my 1,000 sermons, if people ever ask you, what Pastor Richard ever preach? Make me proud. He preached the gospel. He preached identity. And he preached the kingdom. Because this is the only thing we carry with us from here into eternity. Let us pray. Lord, I pray for these precious people. I thank you for their friendship. I thank you for their love over Joanne, Amanda, and Nat. I thank you for the partnership that we had all this time. And I thank you, oh Lord. They are so precious before you. And I pray that today, the Lord, teach them as you have taught me to learn to look beyond life, to see life in you. To learn to look beyond life, to see that we have been loved perfectly. In the midst of change, in the midst of transition, I thank you that the constant is always your presence and your power. That's what Pastor Jeremy says earlier, that you never leave us or forsake us. And whatever you have written in our hearts, Lord, it will not come back to you empty, but it will go and accomplish its purpose. It will blossom. It will produce. It will be made whole and complete. The Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. For perfect satisfaction to rest upon all of us. That we can be like you. As we look at the chapters of our life, sometimes we can't explain it, why it happened. But Lord, I thank you that it happened because I still see your hands. I've still experienced your unending love, your unceasing faithfulness. So Lord, bless these people. Bless them. And give them a new spirit. Give them a freshness. And give them expectation that God, in the days to come, when we all rest at your feet, we all can confess, indeed, all things work together for good for all of us who has responded to his purpose. Amen.